Okay, Holly, you see those four chairs there? Well, they're going to be your car, and yeah, you're going to sit right there. Yeah, that's it. When I say action, you're going to act as if you would, you know, normally driving down the highway. Then eventually you're going to see a gorilla hitchhiking. Now, I don't want a big reaction here. Just act normal and stop to pick up the hitchhiking gorilla, okay? Make sense?
The casting director was looking at me with a very serious look on his face. It didn't make sense, but I smiled and nodded as if it did anyway.
Okay, great. Let's give this a shot, shall we?
He motioned to his assistant, who was operating the camera.
3, 2, 1, action.
I did as I was instructed. I acted as if I were happily driving along, having just dropped my kids off at school, and oh look, there's a gorilla who needs a ride. I guess I'll pull over and offer him a lift. Hi there, do you need a ride? I smiled sweetly, as if this was just an ordinary day, and as if the gorilla really wasn't a twink of an intern wearing a gorilla mask made out of card. The gorilla nodded and got into the car. Once his seat belt was done up, I continued driving. Then suddenly, the intern decided he was going to steal the show. He jumped up onto the chair / backseat, pounding his chest, making gorilla noises. The intern was really giving it his all. Are you okay, Mr. Gorilla? Do you need me to drive faster, or did I make a wrong turn? Then he jumped down, picked up the chair, and threw it at me. Before I could react, he started jumping side to side like a gorilla. How the hell was I meant to react to this? As if he could read my mind, the casting director interjected.
All right, that's it. Keep acting normal. No biggie. This happens every day.
Okay, Mr. Gorilla. We are here now. Enjoy the rest of your day, okay? Enjoy a banana or 3 for me.
And cut. That was great.
Apparently, it wasn't great enough. I didn't book it. Would have been amazing, though. $5,000 and an all-expenses-paid trip to Bulgaria. That intern, though, bless him. He was really going for it. I stared at my date and shoved some more penne pasta into my mouth. My date was cute. Oh, I was obsessed with his eyes. The prettiest blue eyes against a light brown skin canvas. I had a thing about eyes.
Sounds insane. I'm sure you'll book the next one.
He smiled at me.
So I'm staying at your house tonight, then?
That depends.
On what?
What's for dessert? An hour later, we were at my apartment ripping each other's clothes off as fast as we could. Less than an hour later, we were lying in my bed. It wasn't our first date. We had been on many and met several months ago online, but it was our first time having sex. I was totally surprised that he wasn't your typical banker wanker type who made an excuse for having to leave seconds after ejaculating.
Your apartment isn't so bad, you know, for where you live.
He wasn't even trying to be funny or facetious. He was genuinely and pleasantly surprised. Most people were. I was still in Harlem, living with a vet and Geronimo. I once had a date tell me he could never park his Maserati where I lived if he were to come and stay the night. He was afraid it would get stolen. Chances were pretty high, to be fair. So we just had sex in his car in a nicer neighborhood instead. What's your place like? I knew he lived in Murray Hill, your usual NYC doorman building with a gym and an accessible rooftop. From there, it was a short walk to Bryant Park and his office. He had never invited me back to his.
It's nice. Manly, though. None of this pink and sequin stuff.
Maybe I can see it sometime.
Maybe.
I could tell he was uncomfortable by this thought. We were both quiet for a minute, and then he said,
"What are your plans for the weekend?"
Was he going to invite me over this weekend? My heart skipped a beat. I'm not sure yet. The weather is supposed to be nice. You?
I'll be on my yacht out in Long Island.
Of course. He was your typical player finance bro. I decided to be blunt and perfectly clear. That sounds nice. Can I join you? I look pretty cute in a bikini. I tried not to sound too desperate.
I'm sure you do.
He went quiet again. Then,
listen, I should be honest with you.
Great. Here's where he tells me he doesn't want anything serious like every other man in the city.
I'm Jewish.
What does being Jewish have to do with anything? I dated a Muslim guy before moving here and even had a show romance with a Mormon who played a transvestite. And I don't care about that. I looked deep into his eyes so he knew I meant it.
I know you don't, but my mother does. She only wants me to be with a Jewish girl, so this can't go anywhere. But I still want to see you and do this. I think you're really special.
And that and goodbye were the last words I allowed him to say to me. What is it with men in this city? No matter their race or status, so many of them fit the mold of their stereotypes. It's so hard to meet a decent guy here. Well, one that wants to settle down, that is. They have so much choice. Hooking up with someone is just as easy as having a pizza delivered. You just need to pick a crust and a topping, then you're good to go. The next day, I was teaching a spin class. My classes had quite a following and always filled up in advance. Even if it were the first class of the day and there was snow on the ground, there would be a line of people eager to get their bikes. During this class, I played Bad Romance by Lady Gaga. As it was playing, some guy at the back of the class yelled,
"Holly, is this song about the story of your love life?"
Imbecile. Teaching was beginning to feel more and more exhausting. I was earning less than I was from waitressing and didn't have any sort of health benefits. I was booking the odd gig here and there for acting, but nothing that was going to change my life. I was fed up. As I left class, I decided to go get an acai bowl before heading home. I was feeling a little hungover and still pissed about how the previous night had ended. As I sat down to enjoy my breakfast, especially the almond butter dollop on the top, my phone vibrated on the counter. I looked down and couldn't believe it. It was a message from Arrow.
Hey, how are you?
How am I? Well, funny you should ask, mate. I didn't bother hesitating before responding. Life is too short, apparently. I'm good. How are you? He texted back right away.
I'm good. I'm in town.
I must have made some noise that sounded like I was choking because everything in the juice shop went silent and everyone was looking at me. I nodded and smiled as Queen Elizabeth II does with greeting the riffraff to show I was okay and continued texting. That's great. Are you letting me know because you need to stay on my pink sofa?
No, I'm staying at the Dream Hotel. Be nice to see you.
Be nice to see you too. And that was it. He didn't text back. Not then, anyway. He did text back later that afternoon making plans to spend Friday with me. Insert happy baby fist bumping gif here. I was so excited for Friday to come around that I didn't sleep for the next two nights. I was no longer thinking about...
I'll be on my yacht out in Long Island.
I was going to see Arrow for the first time in years. Ugh, I played out our happily ever after over and over again in my imagination. Ugh, even though we had somehow never managed to meet up since our encounter at the restaurant all that time ago, we kept in touch. It was as if we never stopped thinking about the possibility of us. It felt like a fairy tale or a romantic movie or both. It seemed like it was meant to be. I decided to wear a cute summer halter neck dress with some gold sandals. I wanted to look like I'd made an effort but not gotten too dressed up. Obviously, I still wore a little more makeup than usual and curled my hair. After all, I wanted to exceed his expectations. As I came out of my bedroom, Yvette was making herself a coffee.
You look cute.
Thanks. I have a date.
With Samuel?
She was referring to the blue-eyed yacht-owning knob. No. Actually, Arrow. Do you remember the Finnish entrepreneur I told you about? Made all his money young, playing online poker. Try not to sound as if I was showing off.
Oh, yes. That's exciting.
She wasn't actually bothered. One of the things I loved about Yvette was that she wasn't in any way materialistic. Just down-to-earth and super sweet. What are you up to today? Day off?
Yep, going to CrossFit at 4. You still need to try it sometime.
She was recently obsessed with the latest fitness fad. She would constantly tell me about all of these crazy workouts that sounded absolutely terrifying. The bruises on her thighs and collarbone didn't help her plea. Maybe next week I'll come with you. I grabbed my keys and started to leave.
I'll hold you to that. Have fun. Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Very funny. Bye. As I left my apartment, the sun was shining. The perfect early summer day, not too hot, meaning your makeup would still look good after a 10-minute walk to the subway. As I opened the main door to my building, I waved to the barbershop crew who were hanging out watching some young guy spray paint t-shirts. They were pretty cool. I considered buying one. I was meeting Arrow in the West Village, so needed to take the AC line downtown as opposed to the 3. This meant walking towards Starbucks. The body in the carpet hadn't made the news locally, but recently did get a write-up in the English newspapers. Apparently it was a gang member who had been shot from screwing up some kind of deal. The walk to the AC line was prettier. You passed a small park and an old building that was now a recreational center but looked as if it had once been a fort of some kind. As I rounded the corner, I saw flashing lights. Police cars, fire trucks, and ambulances lined the streets, all signaling bad omens. I found it odd that Yvette and I hadn't heard any sirens. Maybe we had become so used to their high-pitched wails that we'd just tuned them out. People were gathered on the streets, surrounding the commotion. Some were hugging, and others were crying. I didn't know whether to turn back or keep going, or do the New Yorker thing of minding my own business. I had waited years for this date with Arrow and really didn't want to be late. Scandinavians are generally respectful of time. I kept walking, trying not to look at what it was that was attracting the crowd. As I neared closer, I heard a baby crying. It sounded almost newborn. The cries were so faint. I couldn't even cross over to the other side as a fire truck was blocking the path. I had no choice but to walk behind the crowd. As I did, I noticed my next-door neighbor, Sarah. I decided to go and ask her what was happening. As I approached her, I looked towards where I heard the cries. I immediately wish I hadn't. I wished nothing more in that moment than to have been back in my apartment listening to Yvette telling me all about her latest CrossFit workout. There on the ground was a young Asian woman, face down in a pool of blood, dead. Her arms were frozen in a stretched out position, and in those arms was a tiny, helpless, and crying baby, somehow alive, somehow saved from this tragedy. Sarah looked up and saw me. I said nothing, but hugged her. I stood back trying to process the aftermath of such a heartbreaking ending. The woman had jumped out of her window whilst holding her newborn. It was a harrowing and brutal reminder that postpartum depression is a reality. A paramedic shouted,
"The child appears to be unhurt. Can everyone please step back? Clear some space."
He himself sounded full of emotion. The crowd stumbled a foot or two backwards as the first responders got to work in removing the baby from its mother's lifeless arms. I felt the relief as it washed over the onlookers. Everyone wanted that child to go on living. I thought about that baby for the rest of my journey to the West Village, how it would cope learning about how its mother had died. This made me think about my childhood. I too had lost my mother. She hadn't ended her life, but she too had abandoned me. She felt my existence had ruined her life. I thought about all the obstacles I'd overcome and found comfort in those thoughts. Maybe this baby would be okay after all. I think I'm okay. When I arrived at the restaurant to meet Arrow, I put any sad or negative feelings to the back of my mind. I didn't even tell him why I was an hour late. I used having an audition last minute as an excuse. I wanted to make the most of our time together. Arrow had picked a vegan restaurant knowing my dietary preference.
Follow me.
The hostess took me to our table, and there he was, as handsome as I'd remembered. The same light brown hair brushed to the side, and those piercing glacier-like eyes. In a true gentlemanly fashion, he stood up as I approached the table. We moved closer to each other, neither one of us sure of whether we should kiss or embrace. It was more awkward than romantic. We opted for a slightly longer than normal hug, topped off with his hands on each of my shoulders so he could give me a little shake. Hello again.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. I'm so sorry I'm late. Truly, I hate being late. Well, this was true at least. He pulled out my chair for me to sit down.
I hope you don't mind, but I took the waitress's recommendations and ordered us some appetizers to eat. I thought you may be hungry, so...
That's great. Thank you. I thought about how he had asked me for my recommendation of the menu and I was his waitress. I still couldn't believe he was here, in front of me, after all this time. The appetizers came and they were delicious. We ordered a main and our conversation continued to flow easily. He made me laugh with his intelligent and dry sense of humor. I loved hearing about his travels and he enjoyed listening to the retellings of my crazy auditions. It felt easy. We opted not to have dessert, but decided instead to find some whilst exploring the neighborhood. When the check arrived, I offered to pay. I wasn't sure what was the protocol in Finland, and in my experience, European men weren't as generous as Americans. But Arrow insisted on paying and pulled out his wallet. As he removed his bank card from his wallet, a photograph fell onto the table. In the picture, there was a blonde man who looked to be in his 30s. He was sitting on an empty beach, laughing to himself and surrounded by empty beer bottles. Who's that?
Oh, that.
Never mind. You don't have to tell me. Oh, why did I have to ruin everything?
No, it's okay.
He took a deep breath and carefully picked up the picture. He stared at it intensely with a furrowed brow. I remained quiet, allowing him to think through the words he wanted to use.
This is my father.
He almost sounded ashamed. Arrow had mentioned his mother and sister, but skipped over the part about his dad.
Okay. Here's the story. My father wasn't really around. He was troubled. He liked to drink.
He pointed to the beer bottles on the sand in the photo.
One day when me and my sister was young, my father went for a walk and didn't come home that night. A few days later, he was seen sitting here, on this beach, laughing, by a family friend who told my mother. This was the last time anyone saw him.
Arrow's eyes teared up. I reached across the table and took his hand.
Arrow, I'm so sorry.
Thanks.
He carefully put the photograph back into his wallet. Before I could console him any further, the waitress appeared bringing the check. Arrow immediately switched back to being his charming and lively self.
Let's go find us some dessert.
He took my hand and led me out of the restaurant. I could tell Arrow wanted to ignore and take back what he had just shared with me and enjoy the rest of the day, just like I didn't want to think about the young woman who had jumped from her window whilst clutching her newborn baby. It was still the perfect day outside, and I loved the West Village. The iconic brownstones and cherry blossom trees amidst cute little cafes as well as boutiques made up this part of the city.
Oh, do you mind if I get a slice of pizza from this place? It's meant to be the best in the city. My friend and I have a competition who can find the best pizza when we travel.
Pizza? Are you still that hungry? Not sure why I was being judgmental. I love food. You hypocrite, Holly.
Come on.
He pulled me into the pizzeria. As it was about 3 in the afternoon, there wasn't much of a wait, so he got his slice quickly.
Can you take a picture for me? To post and tag my friend in of me eating the pizza?
Sure, give me your phone. I took his phone and snapped a picture of him biting the end off of the pizza. He swallowed the mouthful of pizza, thanked me for taking the photo, and then threw the rest of the slice of pizza into the trash. Was it not good? I was confused as to why he would throw out an almost whole slice of pizza.
No, it was good, but maybe not the best.
We walked for a few more minutes, then he stopped me again.
This place is meant to have good pizza. Hang on.
Before I could say anything, he raced into another pizzeria and shortly returned, this time with 2 slices of pizza.
Okay, will you please take another photo?
He handed me his phone and pretended to eat the ends of both slices of pizza. Once he approved the photo, he thanked me and then threw the 2 slices of uneaten pizza into a trash can on the street. It started to irk me. Who wastes food like that? These pizza slices were $5 and more apiece. That was $20 worth of food wasted. It wasn't until he made me take one more picture that I decided I had had enough of this weird and peculiar date/pizza game and wanted to go home. I need to get going.
Really? But we haven't even had dessert yet?
Yeah, I know, but I have some stuff to do. Sorry. I pulled out my phone to see how much an Uber was going to cost me to get home from here. I really wanted a quick exit strategy.
Holly, I don't understand. You seem a little upset. Is everything okay?
He was staring deep into my eyes. I shifted uncomfortably side to side. Well, I didn't know how to phrase what I was going to say. It's just... I hate people wasting food. You just threw away an entire pizza, spent $30 for no reason at all. Some people don't even make $30, and some people don't have the luxury of buying one slice of gourmet pizza, and some people can't afford to eat at all. So it's like, why the fuck would you just waste food like that? Like, I just hate it when people don't appreciate things and take stuff for granted.
I'm sorry, I didn't-
It's fine. We are just 2 different people with 2 different views on wasting food who are living 2 completely different lives. That's all. It's probably best we save each other the heartache. I stopped talking and stared at the floor. I wasn't sure if I were overreacting, tired and emotional from such an eventful afternoon, or if I was self-sabotaging in order to protect myself. I'm sorry. I really have to go. Thank you for a lovely lunch. Sorry. I hurriedly hailed a yellow cab because I didn't want him to see me cry. I jumped in the taxi and didn't even hug him goodbye. On my $38 journey, I sobbed all the way home. Actual WTAF. That night, I sat on my bed staring into space. I tried to process my reaction to the pizza scandal. Was I crazy? I imagined I would now be remembered as the crazy date that got upset about pizza posts on social media. I felt like such a bitch. This poor guy had a dead dad and he opened up to me about that and I just yelled at him about melted cheese on cooked dough. Did I just ruin my chances with a great guy? Did I overreact? Was I upset about the pizza, the motherless newborn, or both? Am I a hypocrite? I accused him of wasting money on pizza and I just spent money on a cab when I could have taken the subway and that money was the equivalent of teaching one class. Oh, I think I really like him. What the fuck is wrong with me? Why am I so sad?
Next time on FUNYC, Holly takes a much-needed break from the city and makes a new friend.
Thanks for making this night a night to remember.
FUNYC, an IDC production, starring Emily Eden. Written and created by Emily Eden. Sound design and engineering by Louis Fisher. Executive producer, Marcy Gilbert. Co-created, produced, and directed by Eric Wickstrom. Guest starring Paul Levin, Luke Thompson, Oliver Burns, Tony Gannon, Louis Fisher,